Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
A lot of you will be aware that we are in peak hay fever season, or one of the peak hay fever seasons at least. Christine Losher, Professor of Immunology in DCU, good morning.
Good morning, Brendan.
You're going to give us some insight and advice, Christine, into hay fever. Can I ask you first, what is hay fever?
So hay fever is your immune system basically being activated by something that's completely harmless, which is pollen. But it thinks that it's harmful. So it's reacting in the same way as it would if you had an infection, if you had a bacteria, if you had a virus. And actually specifically an allergic response is the type of response you have when you have a viral or a parasite infection. So if you just think about the symptoms, the runny nose, the streaming eyes, it's all about trying to flush things out of your body. So your immune system is actually trying to flush something out. And all the symptoms are because it thinks that the pollen is actually potentially harmful, and
okay,
it's not.
So it's under attack. Are people born with it? Like, why do some people have it and some don't?
So you're not really born with hay fever. We're all kind of born with an immune system that has to develop very early in life. And you're born with a kind of a dominant type of immune response that you hope in the first few years of life with exposure to viruses and bacteria will balance out. So most of us will do that. Some people who maybe get eczema, asthma, what we call kind of atopic individuals, they'll be more prone to developing allergies in general. And hay fever is one that's at the top of the list. And it's because there's a dominance of a certain type of immune response, and it happens to be the immune response that's associated with allergy. So it's kind of easier to trigger in some individuals. You can get it at any time of your life. Lots of people develop hay fever when they're children, but lots of people develop hay fever in their adolescent or adult life. And that's because your immune system actually changes quite a lot during life and is heavily influenced by where you live, the environment you're in, your lifestyle, your diet, your nutrition. Everything influences your immune system. So hay fever can actually be triggered at any time during your life.
And is it an old wives' tale that, like, kids who grow up in too clean an environment or whatever are more likely to develop it, that we should let kids get dirty and be exposed to things and stuff?
Yeah, so there's a lot of truth to, I suppose, early exposure of your immune system to pathogens. You know, so what you don't want to do is expose children deliberately to things that are very dangerous for them. But the normal childhood kind of viruses and bacteria that kids get, and they can fight off, for the most part, very easily, are all part of training your immune system very early on in life to be able to have this balance that I spoke about earlier. So there's a lot of evidence to show that kids that have multiple siblings and families, kids who grow up in farms, kids who grow up in creche environments, because they have a lot more exposure, they're less likely to be atopic. And that said, some kids are born kind of with a predisposition to be atopic. So there's a couple of different genetic factors there as well. But in the whole, like, it's quite normal for kids to get sick early on in life. And it's not something that we should be overly worried about, because it actually trains your immune system.
Okay, so now, people who don't have hay fever think of it as one simple thing, an allergy to pollen. But they're actually, so there are different types of pollen and different seasons that affect different people differently, are there?
Yeah, and like your allergy to pollen is very similar to allergy to dust mites and other types of allergy. There's kind of a couple of different types of pollen. So tree pollen, grass pollen and ragweed pollen are the three main types of pollen that people might have an allergic reaction to. Tree pollen comes kind of early, as they flower kind of early. So May, April, May. The grass pollen is more something that would happen during back slap bang in the middle of the summer, June, July. And then kind of later in the year, August, September, October, where people are still feeling effects of hay fever, is because of ragweed pollen. So sometimes people might say my hay fever is worse early in the summer or late in the summer. And it might be to do with the fact that they're more allergic to certain types of pollen.
So we have the obvious symptoms, the sneezing, runny nose, the streaming eyes. Are there other unseen symptoms that are taking a toll as well?
Yeah, I mean, they're the primary symptoms, and they're the symptoms that's called by histamine. So essentially, we all know if you have hay fever or any allergy, you take an antihistamine to switch off the histamine that's been overproduced in your body, which causes all the symptoms. And essentially, there's a huge amount of symptoms that arise because of the histamine, okay? So the running eyes, all the expulsion kind of things where it's trying to get something out of your body. The other secondary symptoms, I would call them, are more to do with the fact that, like, people have huge sleep disturbance, huge concentration issues. Focus is a huge issue. So there's a huge impact on people's lifestyle when they have a very severe hay fever. So a lot of the other things that we associate, like brain fog and sleep disturbances, are secondary to the primary symptoms. So they're not caused by the allergic reaction, but they're caused by the discomfort that the allergic reaction is actually causing somebody.
Yeah, but they could be quite debilitating, obviously, yeah.
Absolutely. So, and somebody who has a very severe hay fever can really suffer very badly throughout the summer months.
In terms of limiting exposure to pollen, so talk us through a bit of what we can do. What can we do at home first?
Yeah, so I suppose the minimizing the exposure is the only way to really deal with allergy. So even though you take antihistamines, you have to be really clear that the antihistamine is only blocking the effect of the histamine, which is what happens in the allergic response. You're still having the immune response that drives your symptoms. So the antihistamine only deals with the symptoms. You're still having the immune response. And the only way to really try and minimize or try and switch that off is actually minimizing exposure. So the obvious ones are, if you have hay fever, you shouldn't have your windows open in your bedroom, because you're just filling your room full of pollen to agitate you all night. Clothes and hair and carrying pollen back home with you after you've been out is very simply just undressing in a bathroom outside of your bedroom and brushing through your hair or giving yourself a quick shower. That's for people who have really severe hay fever, where just the carrying the pollen. So it's really about just removing the allergen as much as possible, changing your pillowcases and your bedding an awful lot. If you have children with hay fever, keeping their hair tied up and then trying to brush through their hair with a damp, wet comb when they come in. A lot of people talk about wearing sunglasses, because the entry routes of the pollen into your body are nose, mouth and eyes. So just wearing sunglasses when you're out can help with entry in through the eyes.
What about putting Vaseline around the nose, which they say to do it on planes as well?
Yeah, like I would have very mixed view about that. And while in one sense you're thinking, oh, you're trapping the pollen before it gets in there. But the second thing you're doing is you're actually building up a lot of pollen. And once you start rubbing that area, which you will kind of subconsciously over the day, you're actually releasing pollen quite close to your nose. So I would really think that a nasal rinse would be a little bit better, because it actually clears the pollen out of the nasal passages where they can build up over the day. So that's another good thing to do, particularly in the evening time for
that's
people who've been
saline
out.
Kind of
yeah,
stuff
just
that
saline
you run
solution.
Through the system.
Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah,
you, so you
exactly.
do that
just
every day at the end of the day, yeah?
Yeah, and that consistency, Brendan, is really important. So, like, people think sometimes, oh, it's a low pollen count today, so I'd probably be all right without my antihistamines. Once you stop taking your antihistamine, as I said, the allergic response is still happening. So your symptoms are going to come back very quickly. And then you're trying to take an antihistamine and waiting for that to switch off. So get ahead of it. Be really consistent about taking your antihistamines, because you'll have a much better outcome if you consistently take them than if you only take them when you think you're really bad.
And they're having no other adverse effects. If you take an antihistamine every day for 6 months of the year, like, it's not doing any damage.
Yeah, no, they're very safe. They're not very toxic to the liver. And as long as you're within dosage, they're perfectly safe to take. And a lot of people take them for prolonged periods of time during the year.
If somebody has it really badly, there's talk now about stuff like exposure therapy and desensitization. Is that something people could explore?
Yeah, so there is immunotherapy for allergies. And essentially what this does is it takes advantage of a normal mechanism that you have in your immune system that you have very early on in life called tolerance. So, for example, when babies are born, they have to get used to whatever the milk proteins are in the milk that they're drinking. So they have to tolerize their gut to an antigen that they haven't seen before, like a protein, like a milk protein. So that happens very early on in life. So our immune system is able to train ourselves to tolerate something. So immunotherapy takes advantage of that. And what it does is it gives you a small exposure, usually orally, of pollen over a long period of time in very small amounts. And the hope is that you'll train your immune system to tolerate the pollen. It's something that takes a very long time. You probably need to commit to something like that for about 3 to 5 years, even though you might get some effects in the first year. So it's a big undertaking. There is a lot of success. I mean, we do it with children that have milk allergies. We try and tolerize them by using immunotherapy early on in life. So it is a perfectly good therapy when it's managed by an immunologist or an allergist.
Before you go, what about the kind of old wives version of that would be local honey, or honey that claims to be from bees down the road. Any good?
Yeah. And again, like, you know, they say that, well, there's not any convincing science to support
okay.
one way or the other.
But look, if you think it works for you, it works maybe, does it? okay. But look, if it's offering any comfort to anyone, should leave them at it.
Exactly. And honey has lots of other good effects anyway, so there's no harm in taking it.
Okay, Professor Christine Losher, thank you very much for that. We'll take a break.